to Alzheimer's Speaks Radio. I'm your host, Lori LeBay, and I'm so excited that you're joining us today. We are going to have a fascinating conversation, as usual, as we learn from people all around the world at all ages and stages of life. Stay tuned as we shift our dementia care from crisis to comfort.
All right, here we go. What you think about?
Welcome back to Alzheimer Speaks Radio. I'm your host, Lori LeBay, and I hope you enjoyed our opening music. It's called Clarion Call by the Mark Arneson Band, and feel free to download that on any of your favorite music platforms. Now, for those of you that are new, Alzheimer Speaks is about sound information, not just sound bites. We like to have real conversations with real people, and that's exactly what we're going to do today. We launched Alzheimer Speaks in 2011, and we just love sharing and connecting people to new services, products, and tools. And we're going to do just that today by talking with MAUDS Awards winners. So before I introduce you to everybody, I always like to give a few shout outs. So again, if you haven't checked out Dementia Map, please do so. We have put that together as a global resource, and there's lots of things in there. We have like 150 categories, and it is growing every single day. If you have a service, product, or tool, we would love you to list yours. You can have a free listing, or you can do an enhanced listing. And for those of you looking for resources, products, and tools, you don't have to sign in. There's no password. It's just easy access, because I know what it feels like to be a care partner looking for information. And there's a lot more resources out there than we know of. Things like the Memory Cafe directory and Coral Health, who is allowing people to download two of their apps free. The list just goes on and on and on. Saltbox TV, Zinnia TV, the ALS authors. Go to dementiamap.com and check that out. I also want to give a shout out to Arthur's Senior Care. They have been so wonderful in sponsoring Arthur's Memory Cafe, which I've been doing for years now. And we meet virtually the second and fourth Wednesday of each month during the pandemic at 1 o'clock Central. And anybody is welcome to join us. Also in person, Brookdale North Oaks is sponsoring a Caregiver Connect support group, and we meet in person the last Wednesday of each month at 10 o'clock, and anyone is welcome to come. Again, that's in Shoreview, Minnesota. Let's see. I still love this project. It's called the Brain Donor Project. Check it out. They are looking for brains. They need our brains for research, both those that are diseased and those that aren't. And don't forget to mark your calendars for November 2nd, where you can participate in Together for Dementia, which is sponsored by the Dementia Research Charity Brace. We're going to hear from the Footbar Walker, and then we'll be right back.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
Okay, we're back. We are going to be celebrating two of the winners of MAUDS Awards for the individual categories. And so we have with us Marilyn Rakel, who is the executive director of MAUDS Awards. And again, we're going to be talking with two who have won $5,000 apiece for the work that they're doing. And we have with us Lorette Clear, who is the founder of Nana's Books. And we also have Carol Amos with us, who is the founder of the Caregiver Principle. So to kick us off first, we're going to talk with Marilyn. And Marilyn is the, like I said, the executive director of Mods Award. She has also cared for her parents, and both who were developing Alzheimer's disease. And then in 2015, she was inspired by her mom's newfound artistic abilities, which really kind of changed the way she looked and dealt with Alzheimer's. And so this is just prime position for you to be in terms of celebration of the disease. Everyone kind of looks at it as a doom and gloom thing, but there are some really gifts to this. So welcome, Marilyn. I'm thrilled to have you with us today. And then we have Lorette Clear, and she is a certified dementia practitioner, and she holds a master's and undergraduate degree from Boston College. She is a fellow through the National Writing Project with the focus on creating literacy environments to underserved communities. And I can't say enough good things about Nana's books. I just think this woman is absolutely fabulous. She's been an advocate and a compassionate carer herself and involved in various initiatives. So Lorette, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And then Carol has developed this program called the Caregiver Principles. And Lord knows we all need those. And like, where were they when we needed them? Because I didn't know about you, Carol. And I wish I would have back in the day when I was dealing with my own mom. And the Caregiver Principle really reflects her passion to help dementia caregivers. She cared for her own mother for over 11 years. And she has this wonderful book that is all about HOPE for the Alzheimer's journey. And HOPE stands for Help Organization, Preparation, and Education for the Road Ahead. And it is quite the journey. So welcome, Carol. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And I didn't have the caregiving principle for my entire journey either. So I have lots of mistakes that I made during the journey.
Yep, but they're all lessons learned. So that's the good part. You can take any mistake and turn it into a lesson and make it easier on yourself and others in the future. So thank you all for being with us today. I'm excited to have this conversation. But first, I always like to ask everybody, just for our listeners, if you've been personally touched by dementia. And Marilyn, if you wouldn't mind taking that first.
Yeah, my mother had dementia, and my father also. He also had Parkinson's. And when I began my journey, like so many, I knew nothing. In fact, I was completely in denial. Mother taught us that when we get Alzheimer's, walk away. We're not going to remember you. Just walk away. And we all sort of believed her. And when I became a caregiver, I was seeing it through that prism. And I wasn't seeing who was there. And then when she started to paint, all of a sudden, we were sharing happiness. And suddenly, because we were sharing happiness, I was able to see who was there. And that completely, completely changed my journey. And I saw who was there. And we developed this wonderful relationship for the next 8 years. I became a true care partner. And it changed my life.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. Lorette, how about you?
My mother-in-law, Mary, we called her Nana, because that's what all the 14 grandkids called her. Sadly, she passed during COVID. She was living with Lewy body dementia in memory care. And I have to say that in my almost 35 years of knowing her, I really only truly got to know her through the lens of dementia. When I would go see her with my kids in Massachusetts, it was very, very difficult to engage her. And she was becoming more dispirited each time we would go. So we really were at a loss for conversation because her short-term memory was so compromised. So they had modified children's books there and things that were not dignified and that did not speak to her and that took what little sense of self and her identity that she had left. So I thought, based on my background, you know, we can do better. We can do better for her, and we can bring her things that will engage her and delight her and give her moments of joy. And that's essentially, I have twins who are 17 years old. My older son Ford was in college at the time. So we could bring them in and they could engage in nostalgia with her and bring her back into the conversation And it just during COVID, because of the, you know, the FaceTime calls and the Zoom calls, the series just grew and grew. And I just felt like I really got to know her without the filter. Through time slips, we were able to travel back to her past, and we got to know a part of her that I don't think she revealed to very many people at all. So it was such a gift. And I feel like it was an honor to be with her. And it was our privilege. So that's the genesis, I suppose, of Nana's books.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Carol, you know, I had mentioned your mom lived with the disease for like 11 years. How did you, you know, first recognize it? Did she recognize it? Did you recognize it? Or was it the doctor?
Well, we recognized it. She was a widow living in Cleveland, Ohio, and my brother was in California, the other one in Lower Ohio, and I was in Delaware. So we were, you know, remote. But I did start to notice differences, things that were different when we would come to visit. And on her 83rd birthday, I sent an email to my brother saying, she's 83 years old, but we need to keep an eye on her because I'm seeing these things. So what we did is we started calling her more, visiting more, comparing notes, and basically we realized something's not right. So then that's when we got her doctors involved. We worked to try to keep her in her home because that was her wish. That's what mom wanted. But when she demonstrated that she shouldn't be at home alone, we moved her to assisted living in Cleveland, and then a year later to memory care here in Delaware.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate you sharing that because it just kind of gives our audience a little bit of a base. Marilyn, I want you to tell our audience how Maud's Awards came about.
Maud's Awards was developed by Richard Ferry, and it was inspired by his beloved wife, Maud. They lived the American dream. He was a successful corporate executive, co-founder of Korn Ferry International, and she was his silent partner, his goodwill ambassador. And she was the mother of their 6 children, their 12 grandchildren, and now four and counting great-grandchildren. And as he would put it, she is the wind beneath his wings. And when he became a care partner, he had no guidance. He did not know what he was looking. Could have used your book, Carol. And so he started looking for anything he could find. And he kept looking for ways to bring joy and happiness to her life. And he couldn't find a lot of things. This was a while ago. So he started Maud's Awards, which was to reward achievements for innovations in Alzheimer's care. And so he's giving 3 $25,000 awards to organizations and 5 $5,000 awards to individuals. We're now in our second year, and the announcement will be on September 15th. And I will like to add that he is not only rewarding achievements, but he wants to share those achievements with the greatest possible audience. So we have actually printing a book, which will be available, and you can go to our website to find that.
Well, you know, what's interesting with this is the four of us and Richard, like the rest of the world, all had one thing in common, and that was feeling lost and unsupported in terms of this journey, you know? And so dementia really brings kind of that, you know, those lost souls together. And one of the things that I really love is the creativity and the willingness of people to step in and step up to make the world better for not only themselves, but for someone else with the lessons that they've learned and the skill sets that they have. And those are all so, so, so very different. I'm wondering with Richard, if he, you know, was, you know, I'm sure you got a lot of applications on this, and if he was using any of these innovations himself.
Well, actually, he introduced me to Nana's books, and I wish I had had those when my mom was in the later stages of Alzheimer's. She would have loved them. And what I love about the caregiver principle is that it actually gives you a framework for every stage of the disease. And so he reads them. He takes nuggets. He can't implement all of them to completely, but he takes nuggets from everything. So this is a huge help to him, and he helps to everybody.
Fantastic. Now this year, Maud's Awards was a little different. Last year was your first year. What was different about this year?
Well, we were well known in the Pacific Northwest. So 90% of the applications were from the Pacific Northwest. This year, completely flipped. Over 90% were from all over the country. And the award winners are from all over the country. So that was the big change. And what is wonderful is to see the energy from throughout the country on this issue. It's really inspiring.
Yeah, there's a lot happening, and we just need to raise the voices of everybody to get them connected to all of these wonderful resources. You know, that's one of the reasons we started Dementia Map, was to try to help people connect those dots, and why I started Alzheimer's Speaks as well in doing these interviews, because I felt like a lost soul, and I'm like, I can't be alone. there's got to be others like me. And once you kind of step into this space, you are just shocked at how many people are dealing with this and how many people feel lost and frustrated. And they are so, so thankful to get connected. I talked with a woman last night, and I sent her a bunch of resources out, all of yours included. And she was like, I had no idea. Without clicking on one link, she's like, I already feel better. I feel supported. And, you know, it's a simple thing that we can do to connect people. But let's dig a little deeper and learn a little bit more about Laurette and Carol. So, Laurette, I'm going to start with you and want to know, you know, you talked a little bit about your inspiration for the book, being your mother-in-law and, you know, her having childlike books to read. But you created, I know when I talked with you initially, I just about had to strap myself in the chair for what you accomplished in the short period of time that you did it. It still blows me away. So tell people so you see this need and you just step up, and a lot of people step up, but I mean, you stepped up in high gear and just kind of plowed through and pulled these series of books together in such a short time that are so fabulous. Where did you get the strength and the energy to and the creativity to do that? Because it's a lot that you did in a very, very short time.
Well, I appreciate your saying that. I've been burning the midnight oil. I'm a night owl anyway. So my kids, you know, are in high school. So, you know, they go to bed, you know, at a decent hour. And I just go into the family room and just take out my laptop and go to work. I just feel like somehow, because it's this categorical good, I know that it's good for people. And I see that it's effective in the way people are responding. And very organically, people will come to me. For example, a first grade friend of mine reached out to me via Facebook Messenger the other day and said, her mom, who I was very fond of, is 82 and she's in early stages, and her mom was into her antiques. And she had these China dolls and all these wonderful dolls all over the house. And we could never touch them. And I was fascinated by them and I loved them. So sure enough, I'm sending her one of the books that I put together that are about girls, you know, an era spanning book of portraits of girls across, you know, the ages, because who can't relate to nurturing and, you know, the instinct to nurture, you know, a doll and to, you know, to put your hopes and dreams. And these kids are from all different backgrounds and all different experiences. So I feel like I'm connected to source all of a sudden, and it just is coming through me. I know that sounds, odd, but honestly, I could do this. I wish the promotional part of it, I'm not great at, and I much prefer to, I'm mission driven to get these books out to the people that need them. So I'm not interested in promoting them. I'm interested in getting good content together. And then I feel like, you know what, if people, if it strikes a chord with people, it will take on a life of its own. And that's, I hope that's an okay answer. You know what I mean? I feel it's a gift to just be involved and to be doing something, to be utilizing my background in this way. My nest is about to empty out, and this is such a gift in my life. So I'm thrilled, and I'm delighted that it's resonating with people.
Oh, it definitely it is. You know, Laurette, what I'd love to do is just to go look at your site, and so that people can really get a visual of what you have pulled together. I love the website, because, and I love your tagline of engagement, nostalgia, and joy. You know, it's just, it's simple, it's to the point. But I really wanted to bring people to see your site because your books are built very differently. So can you talk about the size and the structure of them?
Sure. So, you know, with low vision and people that have different macular degeneration and all kinds of, let's say the tunnel vision and the things that, you know, dementia impacts in the brain, I've created books that are 8.5 by 11. So therefore larger than what's currently available. And they're ideal for sharing because you can do a side-by-side reading. So if you want to click on browse the collection, there you go. You can kind of see some covers. And then what I wanted to do was I wanted to have a fully realized scene rather than just a labeled image because it's much more generative. You can generate a conversation around you know, all the different elements in the images. If you want to, beneath, you can see some of the innards. Yes. So because it's, you don't know what's going to spark a recollection or to give someone that moment that they, that speaks to them. So, and again, I wanted everything to be very positive and give people a, you know, a positive recollection and to give them something that they could be successful with. I have a woman in Texas who contacted me. Her mom was a pastor and for many years, and her mom was carrying her Bible around for the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. And she said, you know what, Lori, when I gave her the Nana's book, I realized she sat with it and she was reading it and she could get into it and she could engage with it. But prior to that, it was almost a prop, but she hadn't realized that because her mom was trying to maintain her dignity and to, it was so enmeshed in her persona and her, it was such a big part of her identity. So she loves to read the books of, you know, praise, because that is something that was so integral to who she is. So that is an example of, you know, why the books I think are speaking to people and are helping to connect people. The veterans books, that's another example. I sent the books to a man in Spartanburg, South Carolina named Claude Schmid. And he is a corporal, retired from the U.S. Army, 30-year veteran, and he does Veterans Last Patrol, and he goes into hospice with his team, and they do a final salute to people. It's absolutely beautiful and moving, and he brings in the Nana's books, and he said sometimes they're just, you know, the family's in tears, you know, happy tears, the person themselves, you know, it's almost like a parting gift that they can give them. And they can have these moments and the person feels validated and that their sacrifice has gone recognized. And, you know, they've had a moment in which they can relate some of what they've got inside. And if you, you know, have aphasia or you are not able to access the language, it's so much more difficult. But if you almost have these prompts and you have these visuals, it helps bring you back and kind of puts you in that spot. And there was a woman, she does an adult day service, works in an adult day service in Nevada. And she calls herself the Dementia Darling, and she is an absolute darling. And she said she brought in the books to some veterans that there was nothing really that spoke to them before. And she said the three of them sat in a corner and spoke for 3 hours amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. So during COVID, that's just a balm to the soul and to, you know, even to the staff, it helps connect staffers who perhaps are new to the facility or to, you know, the person that they're caring for. And it builds a bridge because thematically, it's all about family, bringing home baby, vocational interests, your avocation, your passion, your, you know, all the things, nature. When you're locked in a facility and you cannot get beyond the fourth wall and you can't see nature or a museum, that's heartbreaking for everyone. And I think to give someone a vista beyond those four walls and to give them a window into their past is something that, you know, I feel is really, really important, particularly now with COVID, because isolation is, you know, we're carrying these people, you know, into, you know, just despondence and depression, and we really need to be able to connect on a human level, and that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me burning that midnight oil. So I feel like it's something that I don't even have any you know, any control over anymore. I just feel like there's so much more to do because there are so many people that are lonely and that need something just for them.
Oh, I so agree. And, you know, as you could see, you know, as I was putting those up, the beautiful design and layout. And, you know, what I love about the books too, is they're so versatile. So if someone can read, that's fine. If someone wants to just reminisce over pictures, if somebody wants to be read to, there's, and you've covered such a nice array of interests for people as well in a really respectful, professional, classy fashion. And so kudos to you for doing that. Why don't you just tell people how fast you put all of these together?
Well, I have 5 more in the hopper, Lori. I'm just saying.
I saw a new one when I was out there and I was like, I don't think I saw that one before.
You know? So now I'm kind of, people have come to me about, some different things, you know, and saying that these seem to be non-denominational books of faith. Would you do something for, you know, that has to do with, you know, Judaica and, you know, and that, you know, the Shabbos and so forth. And I thought, and then when I peeled it back and looked at some of the art, and it just, it's so infused with this beautiful light, and the proverbs are so profound for anyone of any faith tradition. I mean, you know, and I've got a new one that is of, it's like a hymnal, but it's brought to life. And a lot of it has to do with coastal images because of the tide, like the different seasons of your life come and go like the tide. So, you know, off the top of my head, those are two that I'm thinking of, but you know, I'm working on one for anglers. My son is an avid fisherman. And I know that when you get on in years, he's got a mentor here who is a U.S. Naval veteran. And who was a Navy diver. I live in not far from the sub base in Groton and so forth. So there are a lot of people here that speaks to. So it's almost like I'll have a chat with somebody and it'll be what they're interested in, what they're passionate about. And I think, and then I, like I said, I go and I look at the art and I go and look at some of the literature and I think, I love it. Let's do it.
Well, what exactly is your background? I should have asked you that earlier.
Sure. So I have a master's in education and, as I said, creating literacy environments, human development. My undergraduate degree is in speech communications. And my first job was as I was a management recruiter and decided to go back after I got married to become a teacher. So initially I was a first grade teacher. And what I learned was that to invite people into this conversation and to, you know, use great literature, I'm a constructivist. So I start from the top, meaning with great works of literature and, you know, deconstruct from there and, you know, help people build rather than doing phonics and doing things that don't engage kids and that don't make them feel, you know, that they're capable. I do things to help raise their, you know, their self-worth and feelings of success and that they can engage in this process and that their voice, you know, can be heard under the whole language umbrella, right? So I felt the same is true with people that are, you know, aging, that they want to be part of the conversation. And just because their skill set isn't what it was, you know, when your cognition takes a hit, your intellect in large part remains intact. So, and your preferences and your core self and all of that. So those things are how they were. And you want someone to come along and say, I see you. I believe in you. I want to talk to you. I want to know about you. And I want to talk about things that are important to you. So that's kind of where it came from.
Well, and I love that you mentioned that, you know, as the disease progresses, they don't lose that intellect. They don't lose their core self. And I think so many times, you know, people have said, oh, they're just a shell of a body. They can't communicate. They use all those excuses to not engage because they're fearful of going deep, because we don't teach people how to really be deep and intimate. And I know I've had this conversation before, but, you know, dementia, you know, taught me layers of unconditional love and intimacy I didn't know existed. Right. And so when you talk about this work being channeled to you, I mean, just about everybody I interview says, I have to do this. It's like, this isn't an option for me. It's, you know, I kick it around and it keeps bouncing back in my face. And this is, you know, you look at your life and it's like, gosh, I have the perfect skill set to do this.
Right. And it's like dharma. You feel like you know, it's something that is the marriage of your, as you said, your skill set and your path. And once you get on that path, it's undeniable. You know the direction, and you know, no matter what your faith background, where I went to school, you know, the motto of Boston College is men for others, now people for others. But truly, it was instilled in me at a young age, you know, in my home. I came from a very large family. And honestly, you want to go out. I know as a mom, especially, and you want to go out and do something that's going to lighten somebody else's load. And it's just a matter of figuring out how to do that. So it's just given me such happiness to be able to figure it out. And it's taken me all this time. I tell my kids, everyone can have a second act, and the people that have dementia can have a third and fourth act. And there's no reason that we can't connect, you know, and I don't think that brain changes need to be a stumbling block.
Yeah. Well, and I think with our younger generations too, they're like every 2 years, they're switching jobs. They're onto another act. It's like, okay, been there, done that, learned this, you know, I'm game for something else. And so, but again, every stage of life, we can still relish and find beauty and connection in it. So thank you for the work you're doing. What do you see as your ultimate goal and your next steps after winning this award?
All about big dreams. And my big dream is to get not just my books, but quality materials to engage people living with dementia in libraries all over. I'd like to see libraries within libraries. I'd like to see in senior centers and in assisted living and in long-term care. I want people to be able to not get cast-offs and not have things that are not worthy of their tremendous, nuanced, wonderful lives. I want to see them have the best and not necessarily just mine. I want, you know, books for caregivers like Carol's and books for people that are walking this road themselves and don't even know what would suit them until they see it and that what they'd enjoy. So that's my big goal is to establish and to spearhead libraries within libraries for people living with brain changes and not necessarily just dementia, you know, TBI, you know, there's so many reasons that someone might, you know, there's a spectrum and regardless of your level of cognition, you need an invitation and I want to give you an invitation and I want to invite people in. Yeah. And that's my big dream.
Well, and it's so true that there's a saying, what's good for dementia is good for the world. And, you know, your books can be helpful to so many people in so many stages. Someone who is totally competent, isn't having any cognition changes at all, could easily enjoy your books and do reminiscing even with their grandkids and their children and their friends as well. And then you, like you said, you've got people in all different kinds of conditions and it's about developing resources that connect. And when it comes to giving care, I mean, we're all given care 24/7, if we know it or not. And so all of this stuff is applicable and we can use it and reuse it and repurpose it and share it. So again, I'm so grateful for Mods Awards to be elevating your work.
I'm so grateful.
Truly, truly is amazing. So thank you.
Thank you. And please extend my thanks to Mr. Ferry and to the people at the Ferry Foundation, because I don't have this platform. I haven't done anything to promote the books. Like I said, I hoped they'd grow organically and that they'd find their place in the market. And you know, caregivers, as Carol can tell you, is, you know, are burdened enough and it's hard to, between taking care of kids and, you know, you're sandwiched, to know what's out there and to you know, find resources that you can bring in and that you can slip in your bag and that, you know, again, you can use over and over and that, you know, even will do the intergenerational connection and connect the grandkids and give everyone a new window into grandma or mom. It's really a gift to be able to do the work. So thanks for supporting Nana's books.
Right. Thank you. Carol, I want to go to you next and talk about the inspiration for your caregiver principle. Can you give us a little background? You know, it takes a lot of gumption to step up and step in and go, okay, I'm putting this out there. You know, I'm gathering what I learned, because it's very time consuming, to say the least, but it also is very courageous and brave, because you're putting your life out there for other people to kind of, and you don't know, what are they going to say? How is this going to be received? Is this important? Did you have those types of thoughts in your head when you started?
Oh, definitely. And I was really more concerned about my mother, even though she had passed away, because she was really a private person. I didn't mind putting my life out there, but I was putting her life out there. And up until I sent the book to the, I just kept having doubts, but I had the blessings of both of my brothers. And I said, you know, my mother was someone who helped people all of her life. She would support this. So I went ahead and did that. But the inspiration for the caregiving principle really came when my mother was in assisted living and we decided to move her to memory care near me. And I was really thrilled about that. But then I started thinking, we had a lot of disagreements, you know, over the past 2 years. My mother was a strong-willed woman, and I wanted those disagreements and that attitude to stay in Cleveland, and I wanted to bring my mom to Delaware. So I started analyzing, you know, all of our caregiving, you know, the transitions from place to place to place. So I started analyzing those episodes and start looking at the root cause. And then that's when I came out with the caregiving principle. So I basically, you know, the principle basically talks about the needs of the person. The needs of the person is more than just ADL. So that's how we typically think of needs. But when you expand it to the total person, where you're looking at the social and the esteem and the safety and self-actualization, the needs are much broader.
Can you explain to our listeners, because you know, we use acronyms all the time, can you explain to our listeners what ADLs are? Because a lot of people don't even know what the heck that is.
Yeah, ADLs are called activities of daily living. So it's things like bathing and toileting and eating and showering and dressing and sleeping. So it's the basic things that a person needs to basically survive. And then on top of that, you have what's called IADLs, which is all the stuff that supports it. So a person can eat, but then if they're living alone, they need someone to cook the food. They need, you know, someone to bring in the groceries. So you know, ADLs encompass really a whole lot of different things.
Yeah, they really focus on those tasks, and they don't focus on how we're engaging, you know, how we're acting and mm-hmm. while we're doing that, or how we're making them feel. And to me, those were kind of the key things I missed, because nobody told me. Right. I just got my to-do list out. I got my checklist, you know, right. Isn't that what I was supposed to do? You know, right. Look at the checklist. It's all about them. How can I be going wrong? And it's mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, I can be going off the rails real easy here, because I wasn't focused on what was important to the person.
Correct.
And is that what you found as well?
Oh yes. We had many instances of where, you know, we would do things. Okay. So, you know, it took us 3 tries to get her on Aricept. And once we got her on Aricept, we wanted to make sure she was taking it. So we hired a nurse to come in and fill her pill box and monitor her. And mom started with my brother, Mike. This is a slap in the face. If I can't fill my pill box, you know, I can do this. Da, 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 da. And when I can't do it, I'll let you all know, you know. And then she would call the other brother, and then she would call me. And then, you know, all night long, you know, she would just keep calling one of us. So, you know, it was really a blow to her self-esteem, and to say that she's not capable, you know, she can't do this. We knew she couldn't do that because we could see the results. You know, you could go there and, you know, the pills are there. She wasn't able to do that. But we could have handled it a different way. We could have said, you know, the doctor, you know, you can blame a lot of things on the doctor. The doctor won't prescribe that for you unless you have a nurse coming in to fill your pill. I mean, we could have handled it a different way, but we didn't.
Yeah, because you don't know.
Because we didn't know.
And these are conversations that people are so uncomfortable having. Mm-hmm. And I know even like in the memory cafes, people will share stories they don't even share with family members because they don't feel their family will understand. It sounds like you were lucky enough to have a family that was cohesive and kind of working together.
I was really blessed to have two brothers. We were, you know, we were different people, but we were working together. Our main goal was to make sure our mom was fine.
Well, let's go visit your website here. I'm going to go ahead and share the screen, Carol. And you have
flip through the different pages. Yeah.
Yeah. You have so much here. This is your book, Hope. And how is that laid out? So when people look at that, what will they find inside the book?
So the first section is preparation for the Alzheimer's journey. Just helping people understand what are the challenges of being a caregiver. And then at the last part of that section, I talk about the caregiving principle, just give an overview. And then my next section, I'm talking, the book is basically organized around the caregiving principle. So the next section is talking about the needs, you know, all of the ADLs plus, you know, the need for social and self-actualization. And so we talk about the needs. We talk about their ability to take care of some of their own needs. So it's the getting the good diagnosis, you know, all the things you do around cognitive, but it's also important to make sure you're maintaining their physical body. And so, you know, we decided, you know, mom's going to have cataract surgery because that's going to help her see better. That's going to help her a lot. She's going to get, you know, the knee replacement surgery. And it's not easy doing these with a person who has Alzheimer's disease, but, you know, I have some tips in there on how to manage, you know, hospitalizations for people with Alzheimer's. And then I give a lot of tips and tools. You know, I talk about how you can meet the needs in different residential facilities. And then just, you know, I have a section of basically about what about me, you know, the caregiver, taking care of yourself. So it's the caregiving principle is sort of, you know, in there, but it's all the other stuff that you need. You know, I have a chapter on organization. So I share a lot of the tools that are actually on the website.
Okay. Now I hadn't noticed this before, but you have the caregiver principle note cards. How do people use those?
No, I use them a lot. So Marilyn will probably see one. You'll probably see one. I just use them to just, you know, just send a card to someone saying thank you for this or whatever. You know, when I started this, I just said, you know, people are helping me, but then, you know, other people may be interested in it. So it's just, you know, send a note to someone and say, you know, to say thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the other things that I really liked about your caregiving principles is you have got some nice forms for people to be able to download. Let's talk a little bit about these, if you don't mind.
You know, as a caregiver, number one, you're always worried about money. So I have like that 10-year projection, you know, spreadsheet. So you can go through, this is their income. This is what things are costing. You know, the memory care is going to go up 3% every year. So it just gives you a feel for, you know, if you go through and plug in the numbers, how long, you know, you have before a person will run out of money. And then you can update it, you know, at the end of this year, this is what's in the banking account. And then you can just get a feel for, because we're always planning ahead. You know, at some point, if she would have run out of money, we may have or may not have, you know, moved her from memory care to a different facility. You know, it's just, you know, it's just information that really helped us. You know, that medication list spreadsheet, you know, anytime you go to the doctor, what is she on? So making sure we had that. A doctor visit form, you know, so that we have all of our questions, you know, in advance. And one of the things that worked well for us, sometimes, you know, I would write a note to the doctor when I'm taking her and either send it in advance if there's certain issues, so that I wouldn't have to sit there and say, mom is now doing this. Mom is now doing this. It was all on paper so that mom could maintain her dignity. And then he could interact with her. he would look at me now and then because she would say things and I'm like, no, that's not right. But you know, so that was very, but having that doctor form, it's like I would keep track of, you know, at the next appointment, we need to ask these questions. This is what's going on. But the most valuable form for us was this doctor directory. And what we would do is go through and say, okay, she sees this doctor twice a year. She sees this doctor once a year. And we could plan out sort of in advance her doctor appointment. And then my brother would come and take her to those appointments. So I would cover most of the, you know, this is an emergency. She has to go to urgent care to check on whatever. But he would, like, once a quarter, he would come for a couple of days and take her to 4 or 5 doctor appointments. And that significantly, you know, reduced, you know, my burden. And so I love that, because that was one of the worst things I had to do, because you go, you open the door, is she going to be ready? Then she's not going to want to go. And my brother's theory was, once you get her out of there, you don't take her back. You know, even if the appointment's not till 3, you're going to go get something to eat. And then just, you know, once she's left the facility, you know, we're going to hit all of these appointments. So he would do 2 and 3, you know, appointments a day. But that, you know, that reduced my load. I didn't have to worry about that. And those doctor forms really helped, because he knew, you know, what the issues were.
Well, you know, these are fantastic. Even the medication spreadsheet, I know when I was taking care of my mom and dad, you know, I made one up, but I would have loved to have had that been in place for me. Cause then I was kind of going through what works, what doesn't work, you know, and you're revising. Mm-hmm. The doctor directory I love too, because, you know, if something happens to you or you need someone else to step in, they've got the information in right. one place,
right.
which is critical. The doctor visit form, I too would a lot of times send stuff ahead of time, and people don't know that they can do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just got to get it to the doctor's nurse, you know, because they're typically not going to get it directly to the doctor, though that's changing with telehealth and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that they can look at that and then they can take a lot of the burden off the family, especially if it's like, we don't think you should drive anymore. Instead of you bringing up that conversation and, you know, being looked at with heated eyes that are going to burn a hole through your soul for 2 weeks, because that they will remember that you caused that to happen. It's a whole different thing that comes into play when it comes from the doctor. And I love that you did this planning so your brothers could come for those medical appointments, because not only does that lessen the burden for you, mm-hmm. but it's an engagement point for mm-hmm. the person with dementia. Mm-hmm. And it gives them a little break from us too, because they need that just right. as much as we do. And a lot of times we don't talk about that. And then again,
and he was going to come anyway. So he said, I might as well do something useful while I'm here. So we make sure, like, we would do the ones that were the furthest away, because mm-hmm. like I would leave work. If I had to take her, I would leave work. But if it's like up in Philadelphia, you know, so we would give him the ones furthest away. I would take her to some, mm-hmm. but we would just sort of organize it. Another thing is all of the information that I had on my mom, I kept in one of those plastic file bins. Mm-hmm. So like you said, if something happened to me, all of mom's information is in this file bin. You know, they had copies of things too, but, you know, everything, because I had to keep it separate from myself. You know, some of our doctors were the same, and it's all part of that organization piece, you know, yep. to make things much easier.
Yeah, wonderful. Is there anything else on the site that you want me to
the newsletters, you know, some of the newsletters I'll include articles from different people. Just to keep people, you know, different subjects. Like this one, you know, I included a lot of the different viewpoints on the new Alzheimer's drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, some people say no, some say yes. I was just, you know, what does Alzheimer's Association says? What is AARP saying? So, you know, I just try to get stuff out there, mm-hmm. so that, you know, just to make it easy for people.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, you're doing absolutely fantastic work. Have you gotten comments from people who, you know, have taken on your caregiver, you know, principle and read your book?
I think the biggest comment or accolade came from someone who bought a book and she came to one of my events. And the book was so tattered and marked up. I mean, it was like every page, you know, I said, I'll give you another book. You know, this is she's like, no, I need this one. And it has all of my notes in it. And so I just really appreciated that, you know, this has helped her a lot. And that's what I miss about this period now. We don't have those live events. You know, I like those one-on-ones with caregivers.
Yep. Yeah, I miss those too. So you do speaking. Lorette, do you do speaking as well in terms of events to spread the word of your work?
I do. I enjoy it. Elder law firms that, you know, want to let people know about, you know, it's content that is, you know, supplemental, that is helpful, that helps people with their, you know, aging parent or spouse. Or loved ones. So that's, you know, something I've done. I've done for AFTD, the Remember Me podcast, and talked about advocating for a care, for a loved one in care, in long-term care. I'm going back the 9th virtually to testify for the Essential Caregivers Act in Hartford, to get that passed in the state of Connecticut. Nationwide, there's a big push, and there's a lot of energy behind that right now. You know, in any given setting, I love to talk with people about this, because, as you know, you were saying earlier, and, you know, as Carol expressed with her live events, that it really just, people need to talk and people need resources. So, you know, I'm always up for anything. I love to talk about my kids. I'd love to talk about this, you know, as well. So, and I also like to people to know that, you know, when you're getting a loved one settled into long-term care, this is a great way to make that transition, to have the books on hand, because it, you know, it really does let the new family know that this place is committed to your loved one's behavioral, cognitive, spiritual, social well-being. And it does signal and signify that there is whole, you know, holistic, person-centered care here. It's not mm-hmm. just lip service. It really does matter to us. Mm-hmm. And if you can start that way in the introduction, you know, if it can ease that introduction, I'm thrilled for it. And I think that it matters, because we have to start to put resources behind giving people their, you know, the ability, and you know, we can say, oh, it's, you know, we have these programs, but if we don't have the materials, you know, the programs fall flat very fast. So this is a way in which to you know, underlie and underpin the commitment to behavioral health and to you know, maintaining retained abilities, and you know, so anybody that wants to talk about those things, feel free to call me.
Okay. Well, you know, and how cool would it be? And I have not seen one do this yet, but maybe they're out there, but to have our neurological clinics and our gerontology offices, instead of having magazine subscriptions to Martha Stewart and things, to have your books out there, to be handy. And, you know, they might be worried that, oh, you know, they're going to all walk off. Well, you know, make one of those little mailboxes, you know, that says take one and bring one back, because people will do that, because they're like, okay, unless they get one of Carol's where they're going to, like, you know, mark it all up and they're not going to let it go. You know, I mean, that does happen. But so often there are so many resources out there, and it's nice to see, like, that many of the libraries are starting to have dementia sections for people and caregiving sections. Right. But again, we have to get the word out that this doesn't just apply to one, you know, to dementia. This is applicable for so many other other situations in our lives. You know, you both are just doing such great, great work. I just love it. Carol, I do want to ask before we wrap up here is, how do you think Maud's awards is going to affect you or has affected you just knowing, you know, getting this recognition?
Well, I think it's helping me spread. I call it spread my message of hope. It includes the caregiving principle and all, but it gets it on the West Coast. It gets it throughout. And the thing that I like about hope is that when I help a caregiver, I'm indirectly helping the person living with dementia. You help the caregiver, you're helping too. So it's sort of like a two for one. But also, you know, I plan, you know, it gives me an opportunity to give away more complimentary books, you know, so that people, you know, and sometimes it's not a matter of the $12 or $13, just giving a caregiver a book, just saying thank you for what you're doing for your loved one, yeah, means a lot. You know, in most cases, yeah, they can afford it, but it's more the act of giving it to them.
Yep, exactly, exactly. What a great resource both of yours would be for elder law attorneys, just to kind of give, you know, give that gift that says I understand.
But it just gives me a chance to bless other people with the book. And I'm really honored to receive this award and get this kind of recognition and be able to share this information with other people.
Again, we want to thank so much Maud's Awards to bringing these two great resources to our attention and to honoring them for the work that they've done. Marilyn, you know, thank you and your group and Richard and the family and the foundation for their important work. You're really making a difference to so many. I can't wait to get the book and see who all else is in there, because I know you've got, and maybe talk about that a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, so the book has information about the winners and about 60 other of the applicants in the categories. And it is inspiring to see this outpouring of creativity. It's every time I read it, and I'm editing it now, every time I read it, I'm just so exhilarated.
It'll give people a lot of hope, you know, just seeing how much is going on out there, which is wonderful. And for the, you know, if people want to go to Maud's Awards, it's maudsawards.org. And then for Nana's books, you can go to nanasbookseries.com. And then Carol's is carolbamus.com. And that's carolbamus.com. Ladies, again, thank you so much. I celebrate the work that you're all doing. And it's just an honor to know each and every one of you. So thank you.
And, thank you.
And for our listeners, share this. Spread the word. Help us raise the platform that pulls us all together and reduces our stress and gives us that virtual hug in knowing that we're not alone on this journey. There's so much out there, and maybe you too will be the next Maud's Awards winner. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Suzanne Newman, host of the Answers for Elders podcast and radio show. We are the North Star that guides you through the complicated journey of senior care with trusted experts in money, law, living solutions, and more. So join us on this station, your favorite podcast channel, or just go to answersforelders.com. Meet the way showers who will help your journey go a lot easier.